The gift of guidance. The gift of guidance. As I prepared for Christmas this last year and packaged these little treasures under the tree that I was going to give to others, whether it was a card or a homemade item or a store-bought find, I realized that they were not yet gifts. They were merely parcels with intentions. Gifts are gifts only when they are given and received. That's when they become gifts. And so it is with the gift of guidance. The Spirit of God desires to guide each of us on our way, lighting up a path for our every step. But her desire is not yet a gift. It only becomes a gift when we, you and I, receive it and open it up. Now, Matthew writes a gospel primarily to a Jewish audience, and yet he commends the spirituality of a few Gentile travelers. That must have been heard strangely with first century ears. These travelers are from the East. Magi suggests Persia. Their astrology suggests Babylon. Their gifts suggest Syria. We'll settle for from the East. They are pilgrims, they are wise ones, they are royalty priests. And today, in our narrative, they are also our guides, for they demonstrate to us a way to receive the gift of God's guidance. A gift that leads us towards Christ's light, to the one who will shepherd us, the one who will never leave us, the one who reclaims our past and gives us hope for the future, one in whom there is great love. These travelers invite us to be pilgrims also, to be guided toward the light of Christ. So let us learn from their wisdom. First, these are wise people who pay attention. Wise people pay attention. I've been reading a book, another book, The Five Invitations, Discovering What Death Can Teach Us About Living Fully. And Rachel Naomi Remen writes in the foreword of this book, "My grandfather taught me that a teacher is not a wise person, but a finger directing our attention to reality that surrounds us. A teacher is not a person, but a finger pointing to the reality that surrounds us." These wise people back then in our narrative saw a star moving, and they would need to know the lay of the land of the cosmic order. They were aware, they were awake, they heeded to what was around so they could notice what was moving. They read the stars, and later we're told they read their dreams. Now, mystics tell us that when we embark on an inner journey, we find inside ourselves an expanding universe not dissimilar to the stars and the comets and the planets. This is the place where our stars move. This is the place where the Spirit guides us towards the light of Christ. Mystic Etty Hillesum was a Dutch author, and she wrote of her religious awakening in both the Jewish and Christian traditions. And she writes this, "Through every being, you and I, animals, creatures, single space extends, outer space within. When we embark on our inner journey, it is not a selfish navel-gazing endeavor. It is actually a journey that connects us with the bigger world, with each other, and with the bigger universe. Etty deepened her inner journey during the time of the Nazi regime, and it was costly for her because she decided not to hide, but to join her people's suffering. And she's left, this mystic has left these writings, journals upon journals, that are a gift to us in navigating the internal world. The Magi were led directly to the point of national tension. From their inner and outer explorations, they landed up at a cruel appointed King Herod and were searching for the one who was born king. And their journey is a gift to us. And so we learn that when we strengthen our inner universe, it shapes us to be able to creatively contribute to the world. And so as we begin this new year, let us strengthen our inner lives. It is the process of spiritual formation. It is focusing in on experiences that take us deeper and wider into the light of Christ, with the ultimate goal for God's ongoing action in our world. They go together. So may I invite us to embrace a simple daily spiritual practice. Now, I don't know what it is you do, but this is something I do. It's something I've practiced with friends, something I practiced with a partner. It is called the Examen. It is a popular way of praying and was developed by Saint Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Society of Jesus. It only takes 15 minutes. That's actually why I quite love it in the midst of a busy life. It's a simple prayer. And it opens our hearts to the universe that's going on inside. And when it becomes a daily habit, it teaches us to discern the path we need to take. And there are five simple steps. First, we recall that we are already in the presence of God. We make that conscious. And then we look at the past day with gratitude. And begin to thank God for these gifts that were given and received, and the gifts that we gave and were received. Third, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us see clearly the actions of our lives. And then the bulk of the examen is actually reviewing our day. And we ask the first question, what was life-affirming for me today? What brought me joy? Where did I give love? Where did I receive love? What was meaningful? And if we do this with our children, we can ask, what made you smile? What made you laugh today? Take a moment. Think about yesterday and this morning. What was life-affirming for you? And then we change gears and we ask, what drained me of energy today? What brought me sorrow? What was devoid of meaning? And for children, we can ask, what made you frown or sad or feel like crying? What drained you of energy? And then the last step as we get to know this internal universe is we imagine that Christ is sitting right with us. And we tell Christ what we need to. It might be a confession. It might be a gratitude. It might be a surrender or a letting go. And we notice what nudges we receive back. Maybe there's someone we need to talk to. Maybe a letter we need to write. And we ask the Spirit's help as we move forward. And so we get to know this inner world, the ups and downs, so that when the star rises and moves inside of us, we will know to follow because something has changed. Most recently, I found myself giving thanks to God for a resolution I had felt in letting go a memory and with it a resentment of early hospitalization as a 2-year-old child. And because I was letting it go and resolving it in counseling, in my daily giving thanks, I began to see this picture of my brother, who I rarely think about. Sorry, Andrew. And I felt led to initiate a phone call with him. That is where the star led me. The light of Christ shone bright, reclaiming my younger years and leading me to reconciliation. For it is in the mix of everyday life that God guides us if we are paying attention. Wise people pay attention. And they ask questions. The gift of guidance is given to those who ask. And so as we come into Epiphany, in Advent we anticipated the light. During the 12 days of Christmas, the light was born in Christ among us. And now in Epiphany, a season that is long, may the light be manifested in each one of us in different ways. Pay attention. The light has come. Amen.